Imagine trying to summit Mount Everest, right? But instead of a lightweight backpack, you are forced to drag a 27-gigabyte grand piano up the mountain.
Oh man, yeah, that sounds completely miserable.
Right. But for years, that is exactly what local AI models have been doing to your device's memory. So today, welcome to our custom deep dive into the Loom version 0.76.0 release notes.
Which the engineering team internally designated as Operation Mesh, by the way.
Yeah, Operation Mesh. And the mission for you listening today is to unpack how this architectural update acts as, well, grabbing the ledge, like securing your baseline gear before attempting to push into the thin air of highly constrained edge computing.
Because getting that base camp secure means stripping away literally everything that isn't strictly necessary. I mean, Operation Mesh isn't the final destination.
Right, it's more of a stabilization phase.
Exactly. It prepares the entire framework to eventually run on the extreme thermal and memory limits of everyday devices, without relying on external cloud servers at all.
So, to climb that mountain, the engine needs a much lighter load. Loom tackles this with what they call their universal polyglot runtime and sovereign design.
Yeah, which is engineered for write once, run everywhere portability.
Right, where the logic can just bounce seamlessly between languages without being tethered to a central server. They even claim it enables private active on-device training. But I have to say, I'm pretty skeptical.
Oh, how come?
Well, isn't a cloud where all the heavy AI lifting basically has to happen? I mean, consumer laptops just don't have the memory limits for that kind of active training.
Well, they didn't, not until Loom completely overhauled how memory is handled. Traditional frameworks demand this giant, uncompressed, 32-bit floating point mirror in your RAM.
Wait, so they basically force the operating system to create a huge staging area just to copy the model over?
Yeah, exactly, before doing any actual work. But Loom v0.76.0 eradicated that mandatory FB22 RAM mirror entirely.
Wow. But if it doesn't load the model into memory first, how does the engine actually, run?
By using direct load path quantization. Think of quantization like converting a massive, uncompressed raw photograph into a standard JPEG.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it drops those hyper-specific 32-bit decimals down to much simpler integers. So Loom can now stream that simplified math straight from your storage drive on the fly.
That's wild.
And because they enforce this strict RAM discipline, they took a 27-gigabyte model footprint and successfully shrank it down to a highly accessible 15 gigabytes.
Okay, so the model actually fits in the backpack now, but cramming it onto a consumer laptop is, well, it's only half the battle. If it takes forever to set up or just crashes immediately, it's useless.
Right.
So how are they actually loading and monitoring this massive model without slowing everything down?
That falls to a new module they call Lucy. It handles direct Hugging Face model ingestion. You can pull in complex models, even intricate Qwen-3 models, and compile them instantly for what they call conversational smoke testing.
Conversational smoke testing. So just like booting it up to see if the chat breaks before doing anything else.
Basically, yeah.
Makes sense. But running this locally still hits hardware bottlenecks. The notes mention two new networking protocols to deal with that: Donate Compute and TanAsh.
Right. So Donate Compute uses TCP framing, so devices on the same local network can pool their resources. If your laptop needs help, it can literally borrow processing power from your desktop over the LAN.
That is so cool. And then TanAsh handles layer telemetry, but using UDP instead of TCP.
Which is a very deliberate choice.
Yeah, because TCP is like sending a certified letter. It guarantees delivery, but it's super slow. UDP is more like throwing a postcard out the window. If you're just updating a digital dashboard, dropping a tiny packet of visual telemetry data is vastly preferable to stalling the actual inference engine just to confirm receipt.
Exactly. You never want to block your primary execution thread just to update a diagnostic screen.
Oh.
But the real question is whether the mathematical fidelity holds up under all this extreme compression. They ran a 2,950 test audit to find out. By using multi-core tiling, which essentially chunks the math across multiple processor cores, they achieved up to a staggering 356x speedup on dense networks compared to the CPU baseline.
Hold on, wait. You can't just delete data and expect the same intelligence. If we are compressing these models into formats like microscopic 4-bit integers to get these crazy speeds, doesn't the math eventually break down?
It absolutely does.
So the model gets dumber over time.
Well, specifically during active training, the audit proved this phenomenon called heavy drift, or HD drift. During the forward pass, when the model is just generating text, extreme quantization is surprisingly stable.
But not when it's learning.
Right. During the backward pass in training, especially in recurrent temporal loops where it feeds back into itself, rounding errors in formats like IN64 and IN4 compound exponentially.
Ah, causing gradients to explode.
Exactly. Which mathematically proves why formats like BFloat16 are strictly required for training. You need that extra space.
Got it. So, Operation Mesh successfully secures the ledge. It perfectly sets the stage for the V0.8.0 edge first era. We've packed the ultimate lightweight backpack for Everest.
The baseline gear is perfectly sorted, yes.
Which leaves us with a pretty provocative thought for you to take away today. If everyday edge devices can now pool their processing power over local Wi-Fi to actively train personalized sovereign AI models without ever pinging the cloud.
Yeah.
How will this completely off-grid capability disrupt the massive corporate monopolies currently dominating artificial intelligence?